We already know how this story ends, don't we? No spoiler alerts are needed here. No suspenseful cliffhangers will rob us of our sleep tonight. We already know that the story ends not in defeat, but in victory. Not in despair, but hope. Not in sorrow, but in joy. So why not fast forward beyond this doleful interlude and skip ahead to the blissful ending? Why linger over this painful and pointless defeat? Last night's celebration was about the tenderness of God, how Jesus humbly washed the feet of his disciples and fed them with his own body and blood. Tomorrow's celebration is about the irresistible power of God in raising Jesus from the grave. But tonight's liturgy, what are we celebrating here? The passion of Jesus? His harrowing death on the cross? Are those things we really want to celebrate? More than anything, tonight seems to be a feast of shattered expectations. All that the people hoped that Jesus would be was destroyed. He was the shoot that sprouted from the stump of Jesse, only to be nailed back upon a tree. A star of promise heralded his birth. His final breath brought with it a shroud of darkness. He was the long-sought Messiah, rejected by the Jewish leaders. He was to be the champion who liberated the nation from Roman oppression. Instead, he was executed at the hands of Roman soldiers. One friend betrayed him, another denied him. In the end, all his own abandoned him, except for the women. Yes, my friends, tonight's celebration, if we dare call it that, is a celebration of shattered expectations and broken dreams. We gather here not to salvage what we can of those broken dreams, nor to patch together those shattered expectations. Rather, we come simply to be with one another for a while as we sit among the shards. With Yeats we cry, "I have spread my dreams under your feet. Tread softly, because you tread on my dreams." And the thwarted dreams that hold us spellbound are not simply the frustrated hopes of those first Jesus followers. We tonight have more than enough of our own thwarted dreams to lament. What about America the beautiful, where pilgrim feet a thoroughfare of freedom beat across the wilderness? What of that noble aspiration? Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Instead, our nation greets the homeless, tempest-tossed, with searing indifference and unwarranted bigotry. Now there's a broken dream. What about our church, newly dynamized by the boldness of Pope Francis, who yearns for a poor church and a church for the poor, who views the church as a field hospital, binding up the wounds of the faithful? More than any other papal prerogative, it seems, this Pope chooses to be prodigal with God's abundant mercy, dispensing it lavishly and extensively. And yet, amid this undeniable benevolence, the Church persists in rebuffing the urgently needed and generously offered ministry of its daughters and its married men. Now there's a dream deferred. What happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun, or fester like a sore, then run? How about the Society of Jesus, of which you are all members by extension? What of our vaunted hope of living AMDG, all for the greater glory of God? Or of our desire to be women and men for others and to minister preferentially to the most vulnerable and to those on the margins? Those valid and worthy dreams were severely shaken by the recent shame-filled revelation that respected leaders of our order remorselessly sold 272 living, breathing men, women, and children like so much human cargo in exchange for the financial stability of a bloodless institution. There's a dream betrayed. Yes, my sisters and brothers, ours is a surfeit of broken dreams and shattered expectations, but they do not exhaust the purpose of our commemoration here. No, we gather to honor the one who shared those shattered expectations and shared them to the full. We assemble to venerate the one who, with unfathomable tenacity, enfolds our lives within his sacred heart and chooses to embrace us in all our nativist insularity, our intransigent clericalism, and our unyielding racism. We convene to adore the one who chose not to look on with compassion from some distant reserve, but rather who stooped to immerse himself fully in our lives, our loves, our projects, and our follies. It was that choice of his that led inexorably to the failure and the death we reverently recall this evening. That's what we celebrate. Not the suffering, nor the strife, nor the death, but God's choice to love us so fully that he wants to shoulder our pain and even suffer our death. That's why we dare not fast forward past this night. We need to stay here and ponder, to let this truth saturate every particle of our being. And there is no more fitting place to do that than here on this field of broken dreams called Calvary. However, there is a time for sitting and a time for acting. Later, as we approach to venerate the wooden cross that cradled his dead body, let us also acknowledge and embrace the suffering and injustice that perpetuate the living cross in our world today. Let us pledge our energies and our resources to those women and men, brothers and sisters of ours, who writhe in agony on crosses of violence, addiction, and poverty. Let us even, as Christ admonishes, bless our enemies and strive earnestly to love those who callously shatter the dreams of others. But let ours be a love that confronts and challenges them, and ourselves as well, to deeper compassion and fuller justice, so that God's dream for the world might prevail.